Friday. Kids are excited.
All right. Mom, change the station.
Hey, 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 kid. Who's that kid in the back? Stop that kid right there. All right, Tom, not here. Sherry is. This is the exchange. So you be my Dixie Chicken, and I'm going to be your, what am I again?
You're my Tennessee Lamb.
That sounds like a fair exchange. Now the end of the day. All right, Kerry, welcome again. Tom, it seems to be a pattern. I'm going to make a bold prediction. He'll be out for the rest of the year on Fridays. What do you think? Kids seem to like that, too. That's,
wow.
Wow.
Good response.
Kids don't seem to like Tom very much. I don't understand that.
I think I like Tom better.
No, you. That's okay. That, come on now. All right, let's get going.
That was directed at me, by the way. So.
You think so?
Oh, yes. She met me. She likes Tom better than me on Friday.
No. Not at all. Let's get to it. Washington State Police arrested the man suspected of stealing the Seattle police officer Alexi Harris's car. This is the story that broke and then rebroke. And then Jason Rance from KTTH, who called me the other day, and he was mad because he's like, I got good information that this happened. I've got the name and all the other stuff. But then Washington State Patrol sends out a note saying, nope. Whatever you have heard, it is not the case. We have not arrested anyone yet. Was it today or yesterday? They sent out a, did they actually include his name?
Late last night, I don't know if he was mentioned. I think they said media.
Okay.
But he was clearly the...
Well, Rance got such a big ego. Here is media. It's like, that's me. Yes, that's me. Over here, the guy with the fake eyebrows.
So he was found at a hotel in the Eastgate area of Bellevue. He was arrested tonight for the charges. For you, the charges that he was arrested on tonight are suspicion of felony hit and run.
This is the Washington State Trooper Chase Van Cleve talking to Jason.
Theft of a motor vehicle, possessing stolen property, possessing a stolen firearm, and identity theft. Over the last few days, there have been at least 6 other arrests made over the course of this time. As the investigation unfolded, those arrests were unrelated to the theft of Officer Harris's vehicle, and additional arrests are expected as this investigation continues. One of those 6 arrests was initially believed to have been the primary suspect in the investigation. But investigators quickly realized that this individual, while a close associate of the suspect, was not involved in the theft. That arrest redirected the course of this investigation to the suspect that was arrested today.
They got the guy, I think he's like 48 or 49 years old, and he's been in and out of handcuffs for a long time. I think in 2010, they got him. He was he apparently raped, although he pleaded to lesser charges, didn't serve any time, served in 1 year. They arrested him for raping a 14-year-old girl, getting her high, and then pimping her out, bringing men into a hotel room that he was renting. And that was, I think, in 2010. He may have some other problems with the courts and law as well. This guy, last name is Owens, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roger Lee Owens, 49.
Yes. Got it. This is to try to explain why we were told that the story was breaking and then not breaking. Does anybody care? Is this too inside baseball? Does anybody care about this? Why the confusion? Yes. No. Anybody? Anyone?
Well, I think
anyone.
I think it's a certainly a sad story. I mean, I read a little bit about the police officer that was killed. I mean, she was on her way home from work and she stopped to help a motorist. I mean, and it's just a terrible chain of events, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was just a horrible thing, and she was beloved and a really dedicated officer. I guess it was a little confusing as to what role Roger Lee Owens played in the crash itself.
Yes.
He wasn't the guy that hit her.
No.
Because that guy stayed and was actually a decent guy. He was part of that whole chaos, though, I guess.
Yeah. The chaos of the car pileup and then another accident. This is the Washington State Patrol. This is Captain Ron Mead talking about Alexi Harris.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of motorists drove by this collision scene that was blocking a lane of a darkened freeway. And in very heavy rain. Of those, only one took the time to call 911 and report the collision or the freeway blockage. Officer Lexi Harris, having just completed her shift with SPD minutes before, drove upon and stopped at the scene. Although Officer Harris wasn't wearing the SPD uniform, She was no doubt continuing to carry out her public safety responsibilities, something she was absolutely under no obligation to do, but did so for one simple reason. That's who she was. Officer Harris's last act on this earth was delivering respectful, professional, and dependable police services to the citizens of Seattle, as she had for the previous 5 years. It's with heavy hearts the WSP extends our thoughts and prayers to the family of Officer Harris and the men and women of the Seattle Police Department.
I called a friend of mine, and he was so broken up on this. Apparently, she was really, really loved. I remember when I was out riding with Dave the Cop one night, and it was like 1:30 in the morning. We're down in Pioneer Square, and there's some drunk guy standing there. And I said, so who's making the arrest on this? He goes, well, I don't know. We'll see, because the captains or the sergeants have to go to the arrest. And she was standing there. I still remember her standing there. Not tall, but, man, she was strong. And he's like, oh, she's a rock star. That's Lexi. She's a rock star. Everybody loved this woman. Mm-hmm. So for, I think as the investigation still continues to go on, some people are saying, why is it, I heard some folks discussing this the other day, why is it that, when it comes to a police officer, all hands on deck to try to find the guy?
Oh, yeah.
But then you think, well, hey, I'm just an average Joe, and somebody killed my dad on the road, and do we go all out for that guy as well?
Well, I've often wondered about that, too. It seems like if there is a police officer that's been killed, they'll find that suspect, within 24 hours, because the brotherhood is out there trying to find the person. And yet you wonder, if they use that same amount of manpower to catch every criminal, where would we be? But is that even possible?
Right.
They don't have the resources for that.
There's so many factors that go into it too, right?
Yeah.
And again, listen, everything is personal, right? Do you go the extra, you don't know somebody, it shows up on a piece of paper, so-and-so, such-and-such, dead. Then you get some of the things, you go, okay, I got to call these witnesses. But it's different when it's your own person, somebody you sat across, you would be far more likely to maybe make one more phone call or stop one more place or make one more lead. And also, are people more willing to talk to you? This is the biggest problem that police have. I've read about Chicago and Philadelphia, and you know this from Baltimore, living in Baltimore, that so often so many of these crimes go unsolved because so few people actually want to talk to the police. So then, for every murder that there is, I don't know what the solve rate is. It's very, very low because witnesses don't want to divulge anything they may know. I don't know if it's different when it comes to something like a police officer. I don't fault anybody on it. I just think, is there a sense of inconsistencies because you know the person?
Well, there is. It is inconsistent, but you have to keep in mind that if someone has killed a police officer, you have to consider that level of violence too. If someone is willing to take the bold step to kill an officer, that person is really dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I think that the motivation is a little bit different as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's inconsistent. And I know in Baltimore, people not only don't want to talk to the police, but they don't want to convict people either, because they're terrified of people being, retaliated against.
Right, right. I also wonder if the strange thing is that the police here in Seattle are held in such low regard by our elected officials and by quote unquote community activists. It's interesting because all of a sudden in this regard, this Lexi Harris is now seen as a person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We describe her as a person. We describe her age, her height, her personality, her character. And we talk about who she is as a person. But what elected officials and community activists like to do is lump them all together. And then when you lump them, then you don't actually see them as individual human beings. You see them as one big group. And it's so much easier to dehumanize a group. And that's why you see "All Cops Are Bastards" written in spray paint across parts of Seattle, because it sees just link all cops. So that person that stopped on the side of the road at 1 o'clock in the morning to help those people, was that person also a bastard? Because apparently they are. And apparently there are people that say this or refer to them as murderers, they as murderers. That's a city council member referring to police as murderers or racist or need to be reimagined. Because when you lump them together, but then all of a sudden when you have somebody die on the side of the road Sunday morning, now it's an individual. Now it's a woman. Now it's a person who's been on the force for 5 years. Suddenly the facts, the sort of the numbers that sort of swirl around this person, their height, their weight, their dedication, their character, now all of a sudden they're an individual, and then you deal with them in that regard. But it's so, again, So I always point out, when you lump a group together, boy, you can just treat them like crap. And yeah, that's the way the Seattle police are treated regularly by our elected officials, because you don't have to look the person in the eye. You don't have to see them as an individual. You can just say they are, they, them. They're all part of it, and they all need to be reimagined or fired or defunded. Because, again, it's a group. It's not one person. It's a group. Mm-hmm. And it's a, and then all of a sudden, wow, there you go. Now there's a human being. This person will be laid to rest. I wonder how many city officials. Will Mayor Durkan go to this funeral? I don't know if she'll go to this funeral. Has she said anything, Jacob? Have you heard anything?
Durkan specifically was asked about this on Brandi Cruz's show, so she's acknowledged it. I do not know, but I know that they're making some announcement about what type of memorial will take place. But it will be public, and it will be big.
Don't you think politically it would make sense for her to go? I mean, she's a politician.
She'll probably go. She'll go, yeah. I mean, listen, her behavior compared to the other people's behavior, she's a shining star. Moving on. The Texas, by the way, I know you're not happy about this. Texas lawmakers leading to the push for the guaranteed pay for parental leave. And he says, we're going to get this done. Here's CBS.
As parents like Colin Allred will tell you, babies are a full-time job.
A little spit up.
Which is why, in 2019, Allred took 2 weeks off from Washington to be home with his newborn son, Jordan. And believe it or not, it was the first paternity leave ever announced by a member of Congress.
It was really important to me. I mean, I grew up without a father. My whole life I thought, when I have a chance to be a father, I'm going to be a good dad, and I'm going to be there. I think in our household, my wife and I try to keep things as equal as possible, and this was part of that.
Oh. Earlier this year, when Allred's wife, Allie, gave birth to their second child, Cameron, he took another leave, this time for a month.
Okay, so Texas wants to push the paid parental leave bill, turn it into a law, and everybody would get, I don't know, $4,000 or something like that a month. That's if Biden's thing gets in place. As a woman who decided not to bear fruit.
Or children.
I don't know what your problem is with fruit. It was a conscious decision. It had nothing to do with anything else, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to get into your ovaries. I'll tell you that right now.
No.
So you decide I don't want to have kids. Yeah. So do you have a problem when the fact that people are able to take off 6 months or maybe even get a year of leave or something like that?
Well, I don't really have a problem with it, but I think
we're doing
there
talk
should be
radio. You should have a problem with everything.
All right, so look, here's the deal.
Okay,
you know, there should be an equivalent, right? I mean, it's not really fair to people if you're going to talk about workplace fairness and you're going to talk about the idea that somebody gets time off because they feel as though it is a life enriching a probability, or it's gonna make their lives better for whatever reason. They've choose to have a child, they whatever. There should also be something that is extended to people that don't have children. And I think it's okay when you have a baby and you're a woman and you've given birth and you need that time to physically recover. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you know, when, you know, I worked in a state office and there were a lot of people that had kids that took a lot of time off to deal with their kids. Well, you know, their kid had a softball game or they had to go to the orthodontist or whatever. What if I wanted to go watch my husband in a golf tournament because I wanted to support him? Mm-hmm. Well, no one's going to sympathize with that. So I'm just saying that there should be something that is equal to the people that don't have children.
You know what that is? It's called
that?
Freedom and happiness, okay? And it doesn't cost you anything, all right? And the other thing, you know, you get a hell of a lot more money at the end of the year because you're
That's
not
true.
Spending it on
right.
softball and orthodontics unless right. your husband decides he wants to tap into the enormous amount of money you make here at Cairo and
right.
get his teeth fixed. The thing is that you will have, if you have a kid, and I think the number is like $1.2 million or something like that from the time of zero all the way up to 18, the amount of money it costs to have a kid and raise that kid is so big, and the numbers keep going up because every parent buys their kids some other thing that everybody has to continue to step up. Yeah, so for you, you get to go to, you're at work and the person next to you leaves. Do you feel as if the work comes back on top of you?
Sure, okay. A little bit. Yeah, I mean, it does. If you're working as a team, and how do you make that up to somebody else? Let's say somebody else passed on their kid's softball game because they had to work more, or they had a deadline or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just it is a little bit unfair to people that don't have kids. I have dogs. So let's say I decided that my dog needed to go to the vet. Who's going to give me time off for that? Nobody.
Can your dog play softball? Apparently, that seems to be the big thing. Can I tell you something? You're not a parent. It's quite obvious you're not. Isn't it, Sean? She's quite obvious she's not a parent. She's got more kids playing softball. Kids don't play softball. Okay.
What do they play?
T-ball.
All right, soccer.
Soccer or t-ball.
That's even worse. All right, fine. Whatever. Something with a ball and a uniform, and they all have to go.
And
you have to sit
teeth.
There and watch it. And then their teeth are crooked, and you got to get those fixed.
Wow.
Whatever.
Wow, bitter woman. Bitter. Maybe it's best that you haven't borne
that
fruit.
That I didn't bear fruit.
Wow. Jeez.
Wow. You asked.
I think I like Tom better.
Yeah, me too. I think so too. Be right back. Keel Mortgage, 1-888-7-7-8-K-I-E-L. Well, best in the business. Laura Keel and everybody there desperately wanting you to know that they will work as hard as they possibly can, and that's really hard for your mortgage and everything needs to go with it. Keel Mortgage, 1-888-7-7-8-K-I-E-L. Sherry, was Sherry sent us this story? Or did I send this story in? Was this one of mine?
Sherry had this on the list.
No, I think I sent this in.
Okay. Share credit, maybe.
She's rubbing off on me. It was the late 1970s, and a guy named Roy Raymond went into a lingerie store, or went in to buy underwear. I'm assuming in the late 70s, he went into Sears. And he goes in there, and apparently he was embarrassed while purchasing lingerie for his wife. And he said at this point, you know what? I don't know if he sounded like this or not. I was so embarrassed, I'm going to start a lingerie store, and I'm going to call it Ray's Underwear House. And they're like, no. That's not going to work. Victoria's Secret. And that's what it was, Victoria's Secret. And then the guy named Les Wexler buys it. Then he ends up, it ends up blowing up. And everybody from the 1980s and 1990s all the way through, Victoria's Secret was the place for retail when it came to underwear. And then they had the big model show and they had the runways and the angels and everything else. Then last year, they are going to sell to this company for $525 million. They're really struggling. And this company goes, Sycamore Partners, hold on a second. We're going to sue to get out of this deal because you absolutely decimated this business because the malls were all closed down. So now it's going to be broken into two pieces. And the reason we're bringing this up is because the big news is they made this news 2 days ago that Victoria's Secret is going to be doing what with its model, Sherry?
They are going to be rebranding them, and they're overhauling their image because they want to redefine their version of sexy.
Ah. Hmm.
So what they've done is they've got something called the VS Collective, and that's seven women who are going to advise the brand. They're going to appear in the ads. They're going to promote Victoria's Secret on Instagram. And they have, I'll just give you a couple of them. They have a Brazilian trans model.
Uh-huh.
They have a Sudanese refugee, a 17-year-old Olympic skier, and a 38-year-old Indian actress. I mean, those are just a few that are part of the seven women who mm-hmm. are going to advise all of this. The other thing they're going to be doing is redoing their mannequins. Their mannequins were much slimmer women, and the average size was like a 32B. Well, now they're going to have a variety of different sized mannequins with the underwear on it, and they're also going to make their stores lighter and brighter. So it's instead of it being geared toward men, this is what they think is what is gearing it towards women and what women want. That's the big question, though. Is that really what women want?
Jacob has gone into Victoria's Secret only once in his life to shop. One, overwhelmed by the mannequins, and then also the incredibly overpowering smell of some sort of candle, which you're in there, right? And you're kind of, it's a maze, and you're trying not to stop and look at the models or whatever, and then you have to get help. And you're right back there where Roy Raymond was in 1978.
Right. It sounds just as bad as whatever he experienced. But I will say, I've never even purchased anything. I've just
been went in there to look
even a partner or something. Oh. And I just like stand in the, like, don't know what to do with my hands. It's just like very uncomfortable. So yeah, I think I definitely related to that guy you were just telling us about.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I don't think they've made it that much easier.
Right.
I really don't. I don't think they've reinvented the wheel there when it comes to helping men buy lingerie.
It'll always be
embarrassing.
I read a piece that the women that work there naturally take men to the more expensive items because, one, they're not quite sure of what something should cost, and they're just sort of vulnerable. As Jacob says, they have their hands down at their sides the entire time, so they're walking like robots. And they head over there and they say, well, here's what you should buy. Guy's like, yeah, whatever, just get me the hell out of here.
Just, yeah, fine, I'll take it.
Yeah. But as a woman, is there a reason that faces and body types were all determined that what beauty is, and now we're going to move away from that, and does it end up working?
I think that remains to be seen. I think what Victoria's Secret has done in the past doesn't work anymore, and this is a real sign of the times, because it was very sexist. I mean, everything that they had, the angels and then the big fashion show and all of the, you know, the super, almost, they were almost like incredible athletes. They were just this rare beauty, these women that were the models. That doesn't work anymore. People are calling them out for that, saying it's misogynistic and it's not, you know, good for the Me Too movement and all of that. But I'm not entirely sure that this is going to work, that the products that they're going to have are going to appeal to women. I mean, that's really where it's going to matter is what they offer. Okay, because I don't see anything wrong with a woman going in there and buying something because she wants to please a man. I mean, if that's part of what she wants to do, I don't think that's a problem. I really don't. I think that's fine. So is this idea of having more comfortable looking things and more wearable things, is that going to help their brand? I don't know. But I do think it's okay to have some more inclusive type models and to have larger models and things like that, because no one looks like that.
People want to look that way?
Absolutely. I can remember, and this is not a good thing. I can remember going there with a girlfriend, and we were shopping around, and I don't know if it was her bridal shower or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she was picking out some outfit, and she said, you know, I'm not going to wear this or something. And I said, no, but he'd like to see you in that. Your boyfriend would like to see you in that. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, no, he wouldn't. He doesn't want to see you in that. He wants to see Victoria's Secret model in that. He doesn't care about you being in that. I mean, so.
Well, wait a minute. This is, you are correcting yourself. So the words came out of your mouth.
Right.
So you're standing there in Victoria's Secret. Jacob's standing off somewhere in the side, in the corner,
right.
Breathing out of his mouth, trying not to make eye contact. And you said to her, Gary wants to see you in that.
Yes.
And then
to
you
make
realized,
her feel better.
Okay.
To make her feel better. But men are visual, right?
I mean,
that's what they're motivated by. So we have to accept that. There are certain things that are just different about men and women. And I think we need to accept that and not try to make everybody all one thing. That's not going to work either, or not for very long.
There was an interesting study. They've done this all around the world. They showed people 297 photos. And they said, who is more beautiful? And they were all over cultures all around the world. And most people chose the same faces of the photos that were seen, because the brain likes asymmetric or symmetric angles.
Right.
And there's certain sort of angles that the brain likes. So, like, for instance, if there's a picture that's hanging on the wall and it's slightly askew, people are like, that's really bothering me, right? So your brain wants things to be at angles. And there's just some things to seem to be more attractive or less attractive. It's just the way it is, right?
And keep in mind, John, that these women that they've got, this collective, they're all going to be beautiful in these ads. They may be different sizes and different races and you know, different makeups, but the way they're going to shoot this, they'll still be absolutely beautiful. So it's not like they're going out
not like that.
Never like that again. I'm sorry. It's over, dudes. You got to get past it. The angels aren't coming back ever.
My first wife was a shoe model, and she had a size, I think it was either 5 or 4.5. Boy, the listeners are going to be correcting me on this. And the shoe was either 4.5 or 5. Why? Because the shoe designer said the shoe looks best on a size 5 foot.
Right.
It's a teeny little foot. and you have a tiny little foot and the shoe looks... Now, if you were clunking along in a size 11, it would be a totally different thing. So the aesthetics of the shoe designed for the foot at a size 5 made it more appealing. It's the same sort of thing with all of this stuff, whether it's underwear or whatever. On a certain size at a certain thing, the thing just looks more appealing. I was at an auction and I sold, in 2016, I sold a chance to go to Paris, to go to the swimsuit or go to that Angels event, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was the most disgusting human being. It's sitting down to the, and he was so gross looking. His face was not asymmetrical. And he bought it and I kept thinking, I felt so sorry, first of all, for the models, because also it included backstage passes, right?
Sure.
And then I went from feeling sorry for the models to realizing they won't even give that guy the time of day, right? And then I started feeling sorry for him because here he spent almost $65,000 to fly to Paris to go to this behind the scenes to be backstage. Can you imagine? They would treat
I know.
They
would
treat
pathetic.
Him so poorly.
I know, right? But for $65,000, I bet you he could get a date. So he's not going to be alone. I really think he's going to be fine.
Let me say something again. You don't take a date backstage to the Victoria's Secret Angels thing.
Yeah, but if you look like a toad, you're not going to
no,
get.
No,
you know,
you
I mean, you're
take...
going to. You better take a date because that's all you're going
to
get.
Okay, Sherry. I hate to do this to you, but
okay.
Hold on one second. Can we get somebody else to co-host for Tom? I guess it's between the softball and the kids with the overbite and their wizened womb. Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. We'll find out who's filling in for Sherry right after this. Oh, Tracy Taylor. Let's get Tracy Taylor to do it. Tracy?
Sherry. No, I like Sherry. Sherry's got
oh,
a good point.
Thanks, Sherry.
Here we go, right to us at MyNorthwest.com, Texas Will at 98973. All are welcome. One of you get a chance to be letter of the day, a great honor bestowed upon you by a teeny tiny lady who lives in a pickle jar. Is Sherry still there? Oh, she is.
I'm yeah. still here, sorry.
That's it. No, you don't have to apologize. I'm kidding. Oh, doo-doo-doo-doo. But you don't, the rule is you don't bring a date to a Victoria's Secret backstage thing. It's like the old thing about you don't take sand to the beach if you're going to Thailand. You ever heard that expression?
I've heard you don't take sand to the beach. I didn't know about the Thailand part. So I'm learning a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. Where we, by the way, where would you be today without me?
I don't know.
Kids play T-ball. They don't play softball.
I'd be wandering around looking for children in an orthodontist softball
uniform.
Victoria's Secret, whatever, Jacob hands in his pockets kind of world.
By the way,
it would be bad.
If you missed the first 50 minutes, there it is all right there. all right. This woman put glue in her hair.
Hey, y'all. For those of y'all that know me, know my hair has been like this for about a month now. It's not by choice. No, it's not by choice. When I do my hair, I like to, you know, finish it off with a little Got to Be Glue spray. You know, just to keep it in place. Well, I didn't have any more Got to Be Glue spray, so I used this. Gorilla Glue spray. Bad idea. Y'all, look. My hair, it don't move. You hear what I'm telling you? It don't move. I've washed my hair 15 times.
16 would have done it.
And it don't move. Stiff wear.
Okay, we all know this, right? So,
yeah.
First of all, I don't believe her for 1 minute. I think she did it intentionally. So, she's back on TikTok now. But, by the way, she tried to make money selling T-shirts. That didn't go so well. So, now she's back on TikTok.
Hey, y'all. Y'all know I love me a ponytail. So, once I started using these drops and my hair started growing back, I knew the second I was able to put a ponytail... The ponytail was coming. But I've been looking all over for a spritz that can hold my hair like Gorilla Glue,
yeah.
but also be safe on my scalp and my hair, and I found it.
Oh, what is it?
Forever Hold.
Huh?
You can use it on wet or dry hair,
okay.
and listen,
yeah.
it holds. You hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah. So good. All right, good. So now she's selling this product. It's apparently safer for your hair than Gorilla Glue. I think it's probably a lot of things safer for your hair than Gorilla Glue. Sherry, asking you, get ready, Sean. Going around the horn, did she put this stuff on her hair intentionally in order to get attention, in order to get money? By the way, she got herself $18,000 from GoFundMe. Did she put it in her hair intentionally?
No. No, I don't think that she did. I don't get that she is.
I need somebody to replace her. I told you.
I'm sorry, Sherry. Go ahead.
It's okay. I don't think that she's the marketing genius that you think she is, okay? I think she really did put Gorilla Glue on her hair. And I'm just amazed that this company has backed her and has created these products for her like she's a good spokesperson. I mean, this is like asking Tammy Faye Baker to sell makeup for
wait,
you.
But wait a minute. So she sprays Gorilla Glue in her hair.
Right.
Totally innocently, just assuming that it would be the good thing to spray in her hair. So you're saying this was not intentional, not to get attention from people, and there's an absolute accident.
Yeah, wow. I don't believe for a minute that she thought this thing through, because it may have gone terribly wrong, and she had to go through like surgery and all kinds of stuff. Who would do that on the risk? Take
for
that
attention?
Kind of risk?
For attention, Sean, intentional.
I don't believe so. Only because when I was in high school, I wanted to bleach my hair, and I actually filled the sink with bleach and dunked my head right into this sink full of bleach. And I fried my hair, had to go to the beauty salon, and they were like, you're dumb. So I think she didn't know.
You and Sherry.
If only TikTok existed when Sean was in high school, he'd be famous. Wow.
Dumped his fight. What a waste of bleach. That's not. But the sink was clean,
and it smelled really potent. That's why I think I messed up today.
How did your eyebrows fare? Did you get any on your eyebrows?
No, Sherry. Come on.
Oh, sorry. God, that was all. Okay. Yeah.
It's
I'm sorry.
Well, it's too soon. Too soon for the eyebrows. All right.
Wow. I'm just trying to imagine what that would look like right now. And I can't even. Okay.